end of the day, what we've heard from people who were there on the night was there was not adequate fire escapes and there was not adequate fire alarm.
Yeah.
So who is responsible for the safety of this building? Because the building mainly was not safe.
Yeah, mainly it's the owner who is responsible, you know, but you have to keep in mind, you know, the kind of building you're managing. It's a 200 buildings, patrimoine, you cannot do what you want, you know. I think it's not the time to share responsibility. I'm obliged to do that because there is a public trial going on, you know, without evidence, you know, that the media is doing against the client. And I just want everybody to be careful, to be relaxed, and to wait, you know, until the authority will determine, you know, what happened there.
That's the voice of Alexandre Bergevin. He's the lawyer for Emile Benamour, the owner of that 200-year-old building in the Old Port. The lawyer spoke to Matt Gilmore from CTV News, and that was a snippet on that. And as you heard him mention, right, there's a talk of, you know, like basically a trial in the media right now in the aftermath of that tragic fire in the Old Port. I'll remind you, it just happened just over a week ago. It has left four people dead. Another three are missing. But I did want to take a look at the legal aspects of this case. What does the law say about blame, responsibility, when it comes to the platforms that some of these people were using to stay at this building, like Airbnb, and when it comes to the owners of buildings and what they need to do to ensure their buildings are safe for occupancy? Let's go to Ari Goldkind, legal analyst and criminal defense lawyer, who joins us on the line. Ari, welcome back to the show.
Elias, good to be with you.
So, Ari, listen, I don't want to do trial on air. I just want to know what the law says about these things. You have a fire at a 200-year-old building. People were staying there at Airbnbs that were not allowed. They were illegal to be in that area, but they were there nonetheless. And then we have questions about the building itself. What does the law say?
So, first of all, there's two areas of law here. There's the civil law, as you well know in Quebec, and then there's the criminal law. And I do think that there is a possibility that the criminal law could get engaged here. There are certainly fires, and it's happened throughout Canada, where you could get, you know, a prosecutor who looks at the case in a relaxed fashion, to quote that previous lawyer. I didn't love the use of that word, but probably just a linguistic thing. Mm-hmm. means something different in English than it may be in his native tongue, because there's nothing relaxing about four people burning to death to an absolute crisp, trapped in windowless rooms. I mean, that is what you have to picture here. Mm-hmm. But there could be, let's start with the criminal law, criminal negligence type charges here. Those can be very, very serious with very serious penalties, depending on what the investigation into the cause and ensuing trauma of the fire leads to. And remember, they do not have that cause yet or all of the facts. That's absolutely true. Now let's move to the civil arena. Now, you also can't take out the name Tariq Hassan. Tariq Hassan has a role to play here. We talked about, and you named the owner, mm-hmm. but Tariq Hassan had a whole bunch of units that he had rented, according to the reporting in this case, and he, knowing, and this is what the media reporting shows, nothing special I'm telling you, that you cannot have short-term Airbnbs in this part of the city. Mm-hmm. Tariq Hassan had rented a whole bunch of units from the owner of the building and was renting them out as, guess what? Short-term Airbnbs. So this speaks to an ongoing Airbnb problem in a number of cities, your city and mine. It is a growing problem. Next. When you look at liability or what the law is, Elias, you always have people say, who am I going to sue, right? And, you know, I can tell you there will be lawsuits flying here far and wide, but one of the interesting aspects, because you mentioned the word platform, okay? Mm-hmm. Airbnb was told quite some time ago by one of the tenants that this building and a number of units in it was a death trap. And I mean that literally.
Yeah, and and just so you know, Ari, earlier in the show at 9 o'clock, we did mention this story that came out in the Gazette about this warning. And I this is a great point to talk about, you know, that someone who stayed there under the Airbnb platform sent out a message and rang the alarm bell a year ago saying there are issues with this building. That matters, that they were made aware of this.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you, I mean, obviously I didn't know that was talked about at 9, but that's an important part for your audience to understand. Now, the question then becomes, well, is Airbnb going to write a big check? My guess is probably not. They're so well-lawyered. They're so deep-pocketed. You have to step back here and say, well, look, because somebody writes a review or sends something, does that mean that Airbnb and whatever Silicon Valley place or, you know, who knows, a call center in India, the Philippines, who knows, is going to send the cavalry and the fire marshal? Then you step into, well, what did the owner know? And there is reporting that the owner knew that, you know, there were issues in the building, no doubt about it. But the owner has come out publicly and said, oh, everything was in order. Everything is hunky-dory. All the fire alarms are great. All of the this is great. The two fire escapes are great. I think the lawyer said to Matt Gilmore, oh, this woman who sort of burned alive in the windowless room, she could have gone out to the left or the right. He said words something to that effect through fire escapes, right?
Yep.
Now, if he's saying, well, we don't know everything that happened yet and everybody should relax, it made me curious that if everybody should relax and there were fire escapes to the left and the right, who lets themselves burn in a windowless room?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a real problem with that, but we don't have all the facts. So the long and the short of it, Elias, is there are going to be a lot of lawsuits here. I think the city, the bureaucracy of the city is going to have a lot of explaining to do here, not just the owner of the building, not just Tariq Hassan, who's renting all of these things out in an illegal fashion, not just Airbnb, which, you know, plaintiff's lawyers will want to bring in because you know the deep-pocketed thing there and they had notice. But I do think this has got to enter into the political realm, which is what is the bureaucracy of your city doing when they know that they have potential death traps, they know that there's problems in this part of the city, and Airbnbs, by and large, Elias, and this is my view, I'm not saying everybody has to agree, by and large, Airbnbs are making cities worse than they are better. And now four lives, and by the way, let me say this before I end my answer, Elias. Yep. There is no death that is probably worse than this kind of death. So this is different than, you know, when your life is taken in a split second because a plane lands on your head. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very serious matter. And I do think the city of Montreal has some explaining to do with what was going on in that building and some serious potential liability. The unfortunate thing is, if the city has liability, that's their insurance policies, but ultimately taxpayers pay who probably had nothing to do with this.
And of course, you know, on the platform question here, well, let's say Airbnb was quote unquote banned. Well, there's all types of platforms, right? I mean, it's just not just Airbnb. A lot of these units can end up on Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji or some of the other competitors,
correct.
Right?
100% correct, which is why I think the Airbnb argument, but for the appeal of that to a plaintiff's lawyer, you see this with sort of free speech and deplatforming arguments in the States when it comes to certain amendments in their constitution. Well, we're just a platform, right?
Yeah.
That being said, what makes this really interesting is that Airbnb was told this was a death trap, and they probably, and, you know, I'm not saying this to insult Airbnb, it's not like they don't have 6 billion listings mm-hmm. and can look after everyone, but the fact that they were told this and, you know, at least in my city, Matt, you have to go through the city to do Airbnb. So there is some oversight here. And I can tell you that a plaintiff's lawyer is going to be digging into all of this, but you tend to focus your lawsuits, mm-hmm. where you have the greatest likelihood of, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, making positive change, but you also look for the deepest pocket.
So just to wrap up here, Ari, just on the last point here on criminal charges, and of course, all of that is contingent upon proof and evidence and everything coming to light about just what the situation was in the building. Canadian criminal code here, I've heard people say, like, would it negligent homicide? What are some of the things that an owner or someone else could face in this country, if there's proof, of course, of some sort of negligence?
Sure. So the areas that I would focus on would be criminal negligence causing death. We don't know that there's anybody there that's been badly injured. I know three people are thought to be missing. The fire team do not believe that they're going to find anybody else. But let's focus on the four. Those are possible criminal negligence causing death charges. And believe it or not, those are not impossible to prove. I can go through a number of scenarios. We don't have time to do it, so I'll be very quick. But if you have a situation where the landlord or the owner, for example, knows the fire alarms aren't working, has tenants in there where there's no sprinklers, there's no way out. And here's the part that really concerns me, Elias. The windows are glued shut. Okay? That has now been reported in some of the rooms. Now, if you live on the 34th floor of a condo, obviously we all know in office buildings and such, the windows don't open.
Yeah.
But if you have knowledge and you have been told and your inspections have failed that there's a potential death trap there, I wouldn't put it past a prosecutor in your city right now to be looking at a criminal matter here once the full investigation comes in and if the evidence leads that way.
Ari, listen, thanks so much. You always break it down so succinctly. Great communicator, and it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you.
That's Ari Goldkind, criminal defense lawyer and legal analyst.